Hi, my name is Lee Harris. I'm author of Suicide of Reason, Radical Islam's Challenge to the Enlightenment. I no longer think the clash of civilizations paradigm is relevant. Let me clarify that. A civilization is a kind of organized whole. The Pax Americana, I think, kind of achieved that for the post-World War II period. And during this stage of civilization where you have one dominant country, the world is fairly predictable. You know what's going to happen. There's a routine. There are no great surprises in history. What has happened recently, especially in the post-9/11 period, is that there have been a multitude of surprises. Things are just not going in a predictable way. The world order that had been fairly stabilized during the Cold War has increasingly disintegrated. It is unraveling as kind of we watch.
Do you think it's unraveled because a new kind of ideology, a new kind of thinking has come onto the world stage that we just weren't ready for?
No, I don't think it's new ideology. To me, it's essential to grasp that there are two clashes here. One is the West, which is, at least under the presidency of George Bush, has decided to bring democracy and liberalism to the rest of the world. Now, the problem here is that the rest of the world doesn't really, they see what we call modernization, liberalization, as Westernization. That is, forcing them to become like us. In turn, there's been a kind of revival of an older feeling of tradition, that is, a revival of the Islamic ideal of jihad, of returning to the old traditions. What I see here is a clash between these two forces, both of which are trying to remake the world in their own image, and neither of which can really succeed. And what I fear is in the process of the collision between the two, that what I call a decivilization process will develop. By that I mean more and more ruthlessness will appear, acts of terrorism. I think the Iraq War could be considered a classic example of it. Once again, very good intentions on the part of the people who wanted the Middle East to be, you know, liberated into modernity and all that. But it turned out to be a debacle, which is what it is. This is what I mean by saying that the civilized order that appeared in the world, you know, during the Cold War and the post-World War II period is basically unraveling. And we're entering a stage in which it becomes increasingly difficult to predict what's going to happen next, and therefore impossible for rational actors to make rational policy about the future. For example, the Palestinian election, which Bush hailed as a triumph of democracy. The next day it turns out a landslide for Hamas, a recognized terrorist organization. Now, the question is, how many more triumphs of democracy can we afford?
You're saying that the normal course of order doesn't work anymore because the values of liberal democracy, which at least we in the West assumed virtually everyone around the world would share, it turns out they don't share. Many sectors of the world don't share.
Yeah, exactly. But it's more than that. It's that the values of liberal democracy are themselves contradictory. Another example is Iraq. We decided to have free and fair elections in Iraq, which is something that Jimmy Carter would have approved of. What turned out is that instead of each person voting his own conscience, et cetera, people voted along tribalistic lines. So the idea of bringing democracy to a country was supposed to be a liberalizing measure. It has turned out to be one in which secularism has diminished in Iraq. Women are less free. Gays are openly attacked. Men who shave off their beard are assassinated. Barbers who do it are killed. This is less liberal by civil rights standards than the regime before, even though it was a monstrous regime. In other words, we're kind of caught because promoting one liberal value turns out to come at the expense of another liberal value.
Why do you think the Islamic world in particular has resisted Western values so much? I mean, Pax Americana, as some people call it. Why has that been so threatening? And why has modernism really failed to take root in so much of the Islamic world?
Well, because the first thing to understand about Islam is that it was one of the great transformations of humankind. The spread of Islam, you know, the first 100 years of the Arab conquest was this incredible achievement. And the second thing you have to understand is that unlike most transient military conquests, this is one in which the religion sank its roots very deeply into every culture it came across. For example, like in the part of the Byzantine Empire that they overthrew, you know, this is entirely, you know, with some small exceptions, entirely a Christian society. And, you know, after 100 years or so, it was a completely Islamic society. And there is an inherent reason why Islam tends to encourage fanaticism. That is, if you go back to the birth of Islam, one of the problems that Muhammad had is how does he wield together a group of people who have always seen themselves as belonging to tribes and families? What he did was create essentially what I call an artificial tribe, in which there were new routines, new institutions, new rituals, which applied to the community of the faithful and which separated them radically from their own tribe and clan. If Islam had not had this device, it would simply have, you know, just washed away within, you know, a generation or so. The fanaticism at the heart of Islam is structural. It's institutional. It's essential. It is not something that is incidental or byproduct. People had to fanatically be devoted to their rituals, to the Quran, to the belief in the Prophet, in order to separate from their tribal and clan background.
Couldn't you say the same thing about early Christianity, that there had to be a fanatical element for Christianity to become a world religion?
Well, yes. Listen, fanaticism is an essential, dialectically necessary part of the development of progress. Because if you have a group of people who feel that they have achieved a superior way of life, then unless they fanatically hold on to that way of life, they will simply be blended in with the general populace if they assimilate. One of the problems for us as liberals, fanatic is a bad word. We think of fanatic as, oh, this is terrible, this is terrible.
Or is a crazy person.
This is a crazy person. So often the way we treat this situation is we call fanatics brainwashed chumps or something like that. We overlook the fact that these people intensely believe that they are right. We may abhor what they do. We may think they're terribly wrong. But to take away the element of their intense and passionate conviction, it leads us to real disaster, because in that case, we underestimate the challenge we're facing.
Well, this is a very sobering assessment. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Oh, thank you for asking me to.
Lee Harris is the author of The Suicide of Reason, Radical Islam's Threat to the West.